Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gary Parrish, a college basketball columnist and TV analyst for CBS Sports. He's the host of the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 in Memphis, Tennessee. And the Knicks are hiring the former coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, David Fizdale. Gary joins us now. Gary, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Gary, how are you?
Everything's good, man. You guys okay?
We couldn't be better. I'm a Knicks fan. How could it be bad? Let me ask you this question, okay? Give me a reason why I should be excited that they hired David Fizdale.
Because he's really terrific. I mean, a bright, young coach. It just went sideways on him in Memphis. But as I said yesterday on my show, like, I'm optimistic about J.B. Bickerstaff, Fiz's former assistant, who's now the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. But if I could snap my fingers and undo it all, I would like David Fizdale to still be the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. He just got sideways with the best player. And as history, you know, tells us over and over again, when you do that in the NBA, it's hard to last.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm curious, because sometimes when this happens, and it happens a lot, it's happened many, many times over the year, usually the player wins out. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes the guy walks away. I remember Darren Williams and Jerry Sloan. But who, in your opinion, as an independent bystander in this, was at fault for what started between Marc Gasol and Coach Fizdale?
You know, it's hard to say, because they're both, like, really thoughtful guys. And you would think, if you just knew Marc Gasol independent of everything else, and you just knew Fizz independent of everything else, you would think they would get along brilliantly. But I think what happened is it happened really early on. You know, Fizz came in talking about wanting to change the culture, championship culture, the Miami championship culture. And while that made sense in a big picture way, I think it rubbed Marc Gasol the wrong way, because from Mark's perspective, he was in the middle of leading a franchise to 7 straight playoff appearances. And no, it didn't result in an NBA championship or even a trip to the NBA Finals. But in the Memphis market, that was considered pretty good. Like, it was considered an accomplishment, you know, a consistent winning, even if it wasn't, you know, collecting trophies. And so I think Mark took offense to the idea that the culture needed to be changed. And then, so they got off on the wrong foot from the jump. And then, you know, I think, you know, again, going back to Miami, Fizz watched Eric Spoelstra and that franchise famously stand up to LeBron James and make LeBron James change his ways, change the way he conducted himself, change the way he played, and it resulted in championships. So, of course, he thinks he can stand up to Marc Gasol. If we just stood up to LeBron James, we can stand up to Marc Gasol. But Mark didn't take to it the same way LeBron did. And then ultimately it led to him getting benched. And then literally the next day, Fizz was out.
Yeah, no, and I remember it. You did it against the Brooklyn Nets. It was a great Brooklyn Net victory. I was very excited about that. So thank Coach Fizdale for that, one of the rare victories that they had. But LeBron's comment about Fizdale, which I thought was interesting, was, quote, "He ain't going to kiss nobody's ass," which is kind of what you were alluding to. It didn't work with Gasol. Does he think that would work with Kristaps Porzingis or whomever is on the Knicks down the road over the next 3 or 4 years? Is that a strategy he can stick with? I mean, LeBron seemed to like it, but LeBron is not walking through that door no matter what the Knicks think. No. It's certainly not going to happen. So can the "he ain't going to kiss nobody's ass" strategy work?
Well, that's the thing. It's interesting, because you see it played both ways in the NBA. I think, you know, there are coaches who are clearly hard on their players, and then there are others who are better managers of rosters and egos. I think anytime you fail, whether it's in coaching or any profession, you'd be wise to try to truly examine why it happened and learn from it. So I'm curious to see if Fizz, you know, as he embarks on his second head coaching job, if he says, okay, maybe being that tough on the best player, like, it clearly didn't work out in Memphis. Now, is that a Marc Gasol problem, or is that a "I need to change the way I do things" problem? That's something he's going to have to figure out. But I'm sure he's been thinking about it, because you know, you don't want to get crossways with your best player again the way it happened in Memphis.
Well, there is this, and I guess it's because of the situation with Gasol that there's a reputation for Fizdale that he doesn't get along with European players. I mean, right? I mean, it's, I guess that's the reason, right?
I actually haven't really heard that, but that would be interesting. And then obviously you're walking into a very similar situation. I find him to be incredibly likable, but mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't coach me. We just talk about basketball.
Right.
And so, but you know, that's interesting. I will say throughout the league, whether it's other coaches or other players, you know, people like David Fizdale. He's cool. And I know that doesn't get you wins, but like, he's a very likable guy. When you guys sit down with him, you come away impressed.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. And he certainly has a good pedigree. I mean, he got to learn from Eric Spoelstra, who I think is now starting to get the respect as one of the better coaches in this league, that, you know, he learned under Spoelstra. He coached D. Wade and LeBron. And that had to have helped him, that when he got fired, it, you know, not that it isn't a national story when an NBA coach is fired, but it seemed like it became even more of a story because of the reaction that LeBron had, that Dwayne Wade had, for the Grizzlies' decision to get rid of him.
There's no question. Around the league, the Grizzlies came off looking poorly, not David Fizdale. Marc Gasol came off looking poorly, not David Fizdale. And I think that's largely a testament to LeBron and Dwayne Wade and others, former players, people who know Fiz, you know, coming out pretty strongly in his defense. Like, I can't remember which player it was, but somebody was like, somebody's got to tell me what's going on in Memphis. And so I think, you know, typically when you get fired, you know, early in your second year as a head coach, you don't obviously become a candidate for multiple jobs immediately, but he did. And I think that the LeBron and Dwayne Wade backing combined with he spent a lot of time on television being visible helped him a lot.
Gary, how about the situation he's coming into? I mean, let's be honest, okay? The Knicks have been a disaster for almost 20 years now. They've had the coaches, I mean, you know, you can't count them on two hands. I mean, that's how many coaches they've had. They gave this guy a four-year deal. I can't believe he makes the 4 years here. How about that? I mean, how about coming in to coach in this situation, which has not been a good one for a long time?
Well, and nowhere to go but up, right?
Wow.
I mean, that's what you're hoping. That's what you're hoping, at least. I mean, it's interesting because on one hand, like, you're the head coach in New York City. You're the head coach of the Knicks. Even if it hasn't been a successful franchise lately, it's still one of the more prominent franchises in that league. On the other hand, the roster is not built to win. And I don't care if you're David Fizdale, Brad Stevens, Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, anybody who's respected in that league, if you don't have players, you cannot win. So that's going to be up to the front office to figure out a way to give him the tools to be able to be competitive in the Eastern Conference because, you know, as that roster is built right now, they're not ready to do that.
Well, looking at the Grizzlies, because I remember at the beginning of the season, because for whatever reason, when you're a Net fan, you remember all your wins because there's so few. But I remember the win against Memphis, and I remember at the time, you guys are in the middle of a losing streak, but the Grizzlies started the year, if I'm not mistaken, like 7-5, and they look like a respectable NBA franchise. They go through the long losing streak, they fire Fizdale, and then you guys are obviously tanking. You lost 60 games. So does it make Fizdale look better that they get rid of him, and at least from a wins and loss standpoint under J.B. Bickerstaff, who you guys kept, things got a lot worse from a wins and losses standpoint?
There's no question. You know, I think if you've got to get fired, and I actually said this in real time, if you've got to get fired, the way that he got fired was actually about the best way for his career because they started not only like 7-5, but they were 5-1, I believe, mm-hmm. in the first six games with a victory over Golden State, a victory over Houston, and then Mike Conley got hurt. And this roster is not built, the Memphis roster, it's got some good players at the top of it, but no depth whatsoever. So once Mike got hurt, the losses were going to come. And so then Fiz gets fired while his point guard was injured. And so it's an easy explanation. Hey, man, why did you get fired in Memphis? My point guard got hurt. We started losing. Then I got sideways with my best player. They decided to keep him instead of keep me. It's a pretty easy story to tell, and I think it helped him get back into it so quickly.
All right, give me, Gary, give me a feel on exactly the kind of style coaching I'm going to see. I mean, I realize defense isn't what it used to be in the NBA, but am I going to see a guy that's going to, like, you know, emphasize playing defense here? I mean, you know, how about that? How's he going to run his offense? Give me a little feel for Fizdale.
Well, the first thing he did is come in and say, I want to – he's real big on developing individual talent. I want to make these players better. Mm-hmm. And even if you're already 30 years old, that doesn't mean you can't get better. He said that from the beginning, and I sort of, you know, was skeptical. But he immediately came in. You go look at Marc Gasol's year-to-year stats. Marc Gasol never shot three-pointers until Fizz got to Memphis. And then he turned him into a real weapon from the three-point line. Like, hey, I believe you can do this. I don't know why other coaches haven't pushed you to, but let's go. And Marc became a real weapon. So he's going to want to have his bigs play, you know, drift to the perimeter. He's going to want to shoot a lot of threes. It's going to be very similar, if he's got the personnel to do it, to what you see Miami do year after year after year.
How about pace? In the year 2 years ago, they were a playoff team. They had one of the slower paces. Is that something you expect from him?
I think that had more to do with the personnel he was dealing with in Memphis. Like when you're playing in a lot of situations, two traditional bigs, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph together, then you can't get up and down the court. So I think he prefers to play fast, but given what he was working with in Memphis, there was just no point to trying to do that. That gets you killed.
How about let's switch gears quickly to the playoffs and what's going on here right now, Gary. Your thoughts so far? I mean, watching LeBron last night, I mean, that was I mentioned this earlier. I'm watching the game. You knew they were winning the game. And to me, Toronto's just a total fraud team. But whatever, you know. But you stayed watching that game because LeBron was doing – I mean, the shots he was hitting were ridiculous last night. I mean, just ridiculous. How about that? How about the playoffs? How about Cleveland in the East right now?
You know, we're never going to get a clear answer to the Michael Jordan, LeBron James debate. It's impossible, right? But I'll tell you, last night, it looked like I was watching the best basketball player in the history of this world. I mean, he goes 14 and 8. And though the Raptors are, like, I'm not disagreeing with you, a fraudulent team, it certainly looks that way now. It's a 59-win team with two All-Stars, and he is just toying with them. I mean, it got to the point where he was just taking fadeaways for fun.
Oh, my God.
This is the Eastern Conference semifinals on the road against the one seed. He's just playing around with them. So to watch that last night, there's been so many incredible LeBron performances, but I think given what he did on that stage last night, that's going to go pretty high up on the list.
Yeah, I think it's pound for pound one of the best.
Oh,
what hurts it is second round, game two.
And it was a blowout. I mean, they were killing him already.
Right, you know? But pound for pound for what he did last night, I mean, you could put that performance up with anything the guy's ever done. It was remarkable to watch.
And now he's, you know, he looks like he's on the verge of going to the NBA Finals again. And to do that with this roster, I mean, he loses Kyrie Irving in the offseason. Then the replacement never works. That's Isaiah Thomas. Then they have to blow up the roster in the middle of the season. Now he's sitting here without, you know, another, you know, every other championship team he's been on, he's had a future Hall of Famer as a teammate, either Dwayne Wade, maybe Chris Bosh, or Kyrie Irving. Now he doesn't have that. Michael Jordan, by the way, every championship had a future Hall of Famer playing with him. You know, LeBron's just got guys with him right now for the most part, and he is still just running through the Eastern Conference, leading them in every statistical category that matters. It is it is literally some unprecedented stuff we're watching, and last night was the best version of it.
Absolutely. Gary, very interesting. We appreciate you coming on and talking about Coach Fizdale with us. Thank you very much, sir.
Gary, appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Gary Parrish, college basketball columnist, TV analyst for CBS Sports, hosts a show in Memphis. One other thing about Fizdale, and I like the hire. I think he's a good young coach. I think he got a raw deal in Memphis. I think it's great that he learned in Miami, coaching some great players, coaching behind Spoelstra. I like the hire, but I'm going to make this very, very clear. If the New York Knicks hire this guy because they think he's bringing LeBron to New York,
no, that's not happening.
Everybody should be fired.
There's no way LeBron's coming to the Knicks.
No, I know that.
There's no way.
And you know that.
That's a pipe dream.
And LeBron knows that. But if that's why he was hired, it was a mistake.
No,
now, if you like
mistake.
Fizdale as a coach, which I do, that's great.
Okay.
I think he's a fine hire, and we'll see. But if you brought him in because you think
there's
he's
no
the
way.
Secret ingredient to get LeBron James to the Garden,
no shot.
You lost.
No shot. There's no way. LeBron is not going to be a Knick.
No, we know that. But did the Knicks know that?
I don't know.
Did they hire this guy with that in mind? That's a terrible decision.
This hire does nothing for me. I have no confidence in him. I have no confidence in the organization. So we'll see how it plays out. Like Gary said, it can only go one way. But to me, the Knicks, the way they are now, there's even another level they can sink to.
That's true.
All right? They can go down yet, if you believe it.
It can actually always get worse.
Right.
It actually
always
can.
That's exactly right.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.